I am in Mark chapter 14. We see this time when Mary, as John identifies her in his gospel, anointed Christ, preparing him for his burial, for his death. And we see Peter a little bit later in the message rebuking Christ that he would suggest that he had to go to Jerusalem and die and be killed and somehow missed. And the third day I'll rise again. I want us to take a little bit of time at the beginning to focus on a phrase in this passage that I think is extremely important. It's in verse 8, she hath done what she could. One of the greatest tools that Satan uses with us is to get us to focus on what we can't. And I really want to park here for a while in two regards, and I want us to think about this a little bit, but in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came tempting Eve, more subtle than any of the creatures, he focused on what they could not do. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in getting us to focus, and my personal opinion is that Eve was probably there focusing on it already, longing, wondering, curious what it would be like to taste that fruit, exactly what it was about that fruit that kept them from, that God commanded that they could not eat it. And one of the greatest tools that Satan uses in our lives is to get us to focus on what we can't do. And I want us to hear this in reference to many things that have happened recently in our nation. By focusing on what we cannot do, it leads us to a loss of vision. By focusing on what we cannot do, it causes us to be discouraged. It causes us to be passive. It causes us to lose our motivation. When we get fixated, focused on what we cannot do, we miss a whole world of possibilities of what we can do. And I want us to really process that this morning as we come together. As Adam and Eve were there looking at the tree and thinking about what they couldn't do, they lost sight of the universe that God had created, the Garden of Eden and all that surrounded it, that was there for their good that they could do. And God had given Adam an assignment. He had given him a responsibility in the Garden of Eden. And we're not saying that he neglected that responsibility, but at some point, they put their focus on what they could not instead of what they should be doing. And the end result, when we focus on the forbidden fruit, whatever that is to us, whatever we perceive it to be, in our culture, in our society at this time, as we focus on that, it's unusual how Satan on some occasions uses that focus to draw us into it and tempt us to do it. But at other times, we don't necessarily do what we can't do, but we stop doing what we should do. We lose the vision. We lose the passion. We lose the consciousness of all that God has called us to do. I don't know what Mary knew at the time that she anointed Christ. I don't know how thoroughly she had processed his death. But Christ did say, she has done this for my burial. She has done this for me, and therefore she has wrought a good work. Like Adam and Eve, too many times we get obsessed by what we cannot do, what we cannot change. In the 1970s, I was in college, and there was a real push at that time. There was a real focus on prophetic preaching. And I'm certainly not saying that is wrong, and people's hearts were stirred with the fact that Christ was coming back again. And the rapture was soon to take place, and it was predicted that it would take place before 1976. And we were told that the currency was already printed for the one world government. And I had two friends in college that left college and said, we can't waste time getting our education. We've got to get out there. We've got to do what we can. And it's a false focus. They left college and they were going to go out and evangelize the world and start churches and reach the lost. And neither one of them, 45 years later, is in the ministry. Neither one of them, I believe, has done what they could. And I think it's a serious concern that we ought to have even now. Back then, 45 years ago and more, they were focusing on the red heifer that had already been identified. It was going to be sacrificed by the Messiah on the altar in the third temple that was going to be built. Those plans have been there a while, and if you want to get more information about that, you can talk to Brother Steve Smith. He knows a number of things that are going on in Israel right now, and it's exciting. And I'm not criticizing those that focus on these things, but you know what? You're not going to change the date when Christ comes back. But right now, you've got to be busy doing what you ought to be doing, what you should be doing, what you can be doing. Numerous causes have been identified under various headings with some degree of possibility, but in the end, to no benefit for the work of Christ or for the kingdom of God. I am obviously addressing something that the Christian community is facing right now, and that is what is really going on with COVID-19. What is really purposed with this nation? Why are the things happening that are happening? To what degree are our government leaders in this country in cahoots with technology gurus and maybe even other foreign countries to use COVID-19 to bring this nation to its knees and usher in socialism? To what degree is our president involved? Is Dr. Fauci really for us or against us? There's videos out there that are pushing this over and over and over again right now. And there are Christians that are consumed with it. And there are other Christians that are consumed with the news. And there are people that are living in fear of what's going to happen. And I'm simply asking the question, do you really believe that you're going to stop what is happening right now? If you are, why don't you do something about COVID-19? Why don't you find the cure? You say, because I can't, and neither can I. I don't have the ability. There's something that I'm going to say in a few minutes that I hope you really get tuned into. But I want to ask you a question. Are there UFOs? And are there aliens in those UFOs? And are people being caught up and their brains being scanned? They didn't think it was worth it, so they haven't bothered me. I don't think. But there are Christians caught up in this. And I'm saying if you find out that there are UFOs and if you get that picture that proves it, what are you going to do about it? Folks, we need to think about this because we get caught up in all kinds of conspiracy theories and ideas and in all kinds of rumors and speculation that has many facts put together, but it takes, if you're paying attention, a little bit of speculation to go from point A to point B to get to point Z. We get so caught up in this, and the question I'm asking you, what are you doing more for Jesus today than you were in February? Or have you been distracted? Have you been distracted by the news that is twisted and politicized? Have you been distracted by the news that is negative and stirs fear in your heart? Have you been distracted by what you can't do? Have you been distracted by the inability to go out and do the things that you enjoy doing? Are you doing more for Jesus Christ today than you were in February? If you're not, you need to think about it. If the news has captured your attention and discouraged your heart and caused you to lose your vision and live in fear, there's something wrong. I can't stop UFOs. I saw students leaving college in the 70s with a zeal, but it was a misguided zeal that led to failure and frustration and confusion. One of my friends ended up in jail that used to be passionate about winning souls. Watch the news if you must. Pay attention to the numerous theories of what's really behind the coronavirus pandemic if you need to. But at the same time, I'm asking you to ask yourself, are you doing what you can do? Are you distracted by things that you can't control? Are you in the saddle serving in the Lord's army? When will you again join the work of Christ to face the gates of hell as the church is commissioned to do? When will we manifest the same passion for God that we had instead of being discouraged by the politicized news that constantly bombards our ear gate and our mind? I'm challenging us to consider how much time we've wasted on things that we can't change and on circumstances that are out of our control. Are we doing what we could do? Now, the point that I want to make before we get to the real message. Back in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Peter was told, along with others, that Christ would go to Jerusalem, and there he was going to be betrayed. He taught them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And Peter said, not so. Now, what I want you to get, and I never thought of it from this unique perspective before, but Jesus Christ was doing one up on the news media that we have today. In fact, probably two up. He was predicting the news before it happened. He was giving the news before it happened. And besides that, he gave it accurately. Our news tells it after it happens, and they still can't get it right. But here's Peter getting the news that's going to happen before it happens, and he's getting it accurately, and he says, not so. And there was nothing he could do about it. Nothing he could do about it. And Jesus Christ's response to him is, get thee behind me, Satan, thou savorest the things that be of men. You have put in priority and you have allowed to capture your heart and mind the things that pertain to men. And you have missed the divine announcement that was given in the news that I just told you. I'm going to rise again. History before the resurrection of Christ is filled with religions that taught some kind of a resurrection. And now here's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, standing there saying, I'm the one that all the others are talking about. All the others talk about it. They've never done it. I'm going to rise again. History is going to change the focus of history from the Old Testament was toward this hour. The focus of history in the New Testament and the church age is back toward this hour. Without the resurrection of Christ, we have no purpose in history. I'm going to rise again. And Peter missed the point, the spiritual point of the news, because he focused on the things of men. And I guarantee you, folks, we as Christians are missing the spiritual intent of God in COVID-19 if we get focused on, fixated on man's interpretation, man's news. Christ said, I'm going to rise again. Peter missed the divine element in what was happening in the news. And I fear that we are as well. It was the news that changed history. It was the news that gave all humanity hope. It was the news that has the power to change lives. It's the news that gives us power to have victory over sin. It's the reason that we live with vision. It's the reason that we drive forward in this church. It's the reason we want another generation of young people to surrender, and we want to send out some more missionaries from this church. It's the reason that we preach the gospel. It's the reason that we gather so that we can scatter and tell people about Jesus Christ. It's the reason we're here, folks. And Peter missed it. I'm asking again, what are you doing more for Jesus now than you were in February? Mary did what she could. Peter missed what he could have been doing. The obvious is when Christ was in the garden praying, if Peter had quit fighting the facts of history and the purpose of a divine God, he maybe would have stayed awake and prayed. Are you with me on this? Savoring the things of men, he failed to do the things of God. He could have encouraged Christ. He could have stood with him instead of sitting by a fire denying him with cursing. And I'm saying to us, in this hour of our nation's history, in this hour of our world's history, God has a purpose. God has a plan. It's divine. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I understand how it all comes together, but I'm telling you, this is beyond the average. This is beyond the normal. God is doing something, and we need to get in line and get on board and be ready to do what God has us to do. Instead of getting all caught up in the superstition of what might happen that we can't change even if it does happen. So Mary did what she could. Christ rose again. That's our whole purpose. That's our whole passion. That's our reason for existing. What did Mary do in a unique act of love, a unique act of significant love, and a unique demonstration, breaking the alabaster box, pouring the ointment on Christ's feet? She anticipated the need. I'm not making it up. Verse 8 says, she hath done what she could. She is come. What's the next word, folks? Aforehand. She came ahead of time. She anticipated the need. Peter missed the reality. She anticipated the need. She came aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. love, sacrificial love, committed love, mother's love, anticipates the need. She did what she could. She came aforehand. Every parent in here in some regard looks back over their parenting years and says, boy, I wish I'd done more of this. I wish I'd done less of that. I wish I'd done better here. But I'm saying to all of us, love anticipates the need instead of only looking back with regrets. So often we as parents get motivated when time has passed and our children are no more reachable. So often we get motivated to tell our children or our loved ones something important, but it's too late. Now's the time to teach our children how important church is. Whether you're here or listening by live stream, you should be telling your children right now as the pastor's preaching, that's exactly right. Pastor is right. We should be thankful that we have a pastor that has a passion for church and for the church gathering and the church serving and the church having a vision and the church having a purpose, because that is why we're here. Church is important. It's the ecclesia. It's the church of God. Jesus Christ is the head. Now's the time to teach your children the importance of education. This is a unique opportunity to remind parents right now that you need to be spending time this summer like you never have in the past. To sit down with your children, I would challenge you to have a time daily to go over math facts, to get them to do some of the math problems they just finished up in school, to keep their mind fresh, to keep their brain working, because they've already had their summer vacation. No child here is going to appreciate what I'm saying, but they've had their summer vacation. You say, you weren't in my home, they were doing schoolwork. I know, but they didn't get everything they would have gotten if they were in school, and we did an exceptional job getting them what they needed to get. But I'm saying to you, this summer, your children are going to go backward if you don't keep them fresh in their mind with math and grammar. English facts, absolutely necessary. There's time to do it. You ought to do it. You need to anticipate the need ahead of time. Don't wait until school starts next year and then wonder why your children are so far behind. Now's the time to teach your children that there's more to life than TV and video games. It's important at this time, more than any time in the house, to teach them to play well with others, to catch bugs with them, to learn how to cook yourself and then teach them to cook and bake. Now's the time to go to the park, walk in the trails, shut off the news and do what you can, build a kite, ride bikes, plant a garden, put up some vegetables and preserves this fall, repair some things at home and get your children involved, do some yard work, discover the joy of reading, be in church, memorize Bible passages together, just simply talk and play together. This is the time to do it. Now is the time. See aforehand the need and the importance of doing these things. Put together some flashcards. Learn the basics of another language. Play educational games. But in all that, keep your focus on the greatness of God. Or if necessary, get your focus back on the greatness of God. Prayer still works. Character training is still essential. One of the most tragic things that has happened during this time of pandemic is that people could not stand beside their loved one as they passed into eternity. One of the most heart-rending things I deal with in talking to people. We couldn't be there. You're there now. You're with them now. Anticipate the need. Secondly, I'd say we must sacrifice significantly. All the things that I just mentioned take time, not money. All the things that I mentioned take some purpose, not money. All the things that I mentioned take some focus and intention, not money. But I'm saying if we anticipate the need, we will have to sacrifice significantly. She took that alabaster box worth about a year's wages. The median wage in Martinsville head of household is 50-some thousand dollars. And she took that, it seems like almost mindlessly, and broke it and poured it on the feet of Jesus Christ. A year's wages was not too much because she was willing to sacrifice significantly because she loved much. And parents, when we don't have time for our children, it is a testimony that we're struggling in our love for our children. It takes time to do those things. The failure of parenting is not the money we didn't spend, but the time we wasted. The activities I just mentioned are too often overlooked by parents. For lack of time, they tend to spend money. And in spending money, their children may be happy for a moment, but they will grieve for a lifetime that mom and dad didn't have time for them. One of the greatest needs children have in our culture is affirmation. We see it all the time in the school classroom where children come and they've been beaten down and they're discouraged and they're humiliated and spiritually anemic and spiritually in malnutrition, because even Christian parents from godly homes have no time for their children. I'm not telling you to affirm your children when they need to be disciplined. I'm not telling you that affirmation is the same as making excuses for them. But I'm saying children need to hear that you believe in them. Thirdly, we must impact others. By being an example to follow, our children will follow our example. They will raise their children, spending time with them, anticipating ahead of time, making the sacrifice necessary to impact their life, that their life might impact the next generation, that that life might impact the next generation. One of the things that I uniquely look forward to in a funeral service and find rather interesting, amusing, and sometimes amazing is when people remember their loved one. Sometimes I do that, but an obituary never covers the 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years that that person has lived. And so I try to meet with the family members ahead of time, somebody that's connected to the family, a son or a daughter, a spouse of that person that has passed away, and ask them, what are the unique things you remember about this loved one? And I give them ideas. I don't care if it's fishing, or they love to go on hikes, or they enjoyed Christmas with the family, or they love the grandchildren, or they had an opinion and they knew they were always right. I don't care if it's positive or negative. It's amazing how you bring those things up in a memorial service, and even the negative things that were obnoxious about that person caused people to laugh and smile because that's who they were. But one day I did a funeral for somebody I'd never met, but I knew people in the family. They asked me to do the funeral service years ago and asked the person I knew best, what can I say about your loved one that might encourage you to remember them, whatever. They said, not a thing, get them in the ground. I thought, well, that's kind of unique. So I went to the other, I think there were other three other siblings. I went to them and asked them the same question, and every last one of them said the same thing. Not a thing, get them in the ground. That's tragic. When we anticipate ahead of time the need, we make the sacrifice. Our lives are time. There's nothing more precious than we can give than time. And for the children that are here listening to me this morning and the teenagers, you need to go to your mother and you need to thank her for the time. Don't let us do it on a video. Don't let us do it with somebody talking to the children. You go home and thank them for the time that they invested in you. It was their life. And it's worthy of praise. What we instill in the hearts of our children will be spoken of for generations to come, just like is the case with this lady as she pours the ointment on Christ's feet. He says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done, this which she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. And here we are 2,000 years later talking about it. I'm saying you will pass that same impact, that same example onto your children who will influence generations to come. In an article on ways to have more impact, the following are some of the suggestions. Give more than is expected. You say, good night, that's my life. Make sure it's focused and purposed. Find ways to help others. Show appreciation. Spend quality time with your family. Mentor others in an area of your ability, your skill. Pay forward by passing your blessings to others. Don't just take and consume upon yourself, but share with others. My favorite quote, and I don't know if it's my favorite, but one of my favorite quotes in reference to Jim Elliot, when what he called the stateside youth of my generation don't even know so much as what a Bible is, while the people I'm going to have never seen such a thing as a Bible. He said, Father, make of me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decisions. I want you to focus on this. I want you to understand what we're saying here. Make me a crisis man. Cause me to have impact on people's lives that produces a crisis in their life. They've got to make a choice. They can't ignore the need to make a decision. Make me a crisis man. I want to bring those that are in contact with me to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork. Make me that fork in the road that men must turn one way or another. in facing Christ and me. Neutral, you cannot be. If we are the example that many of our mothers are, we will see ahead of time the need. We will make the significant sacrifice, and we will impact people for generations to come. Often mothers set the disposition in the home. They're the example of Christian grace that needs to be modeled. When it comes to teaching, training, nurturing, and exemplifying love, they are the ones that we look to. Often it's the mothers that set the spiritual tone in the home. Often it is the mothers that exhibit the sacrifice necessary during the long nights of illness and doing the little things that make life special for children. Often it's the mothers that carry the burden of discipline. And often it's the mothers that sacrifice their evenings to work with the children on their school assignments. Mothers, you've been the fork in the road for your children that forces them to decide one way or another, either to choose Christ or turn away from him. Others have been brought to decision because of the example that you have set as they faced the disposition of Christ in you. Father, help us to see the example of Mary. Help us not to get so consumed with the news and the crises and the speculation of what's really going on and end up forgetting to be in the army of the King of Kings, doing what we can for the glory of our God, because you've called us to a mission that was impacted by one moment in history, the resurrection of Christ. Help us to do what we can. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.